All right, if you can, would you turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. Our scripture will be Jonah chapter 4, verses 1. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is it not what I said at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Let us pray. Father in heaven, again, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts, that we might be receptive to your word, remove any obstacles or barriers that might hinder us from hearing what it is you would have to say to us. Father, above all, we do thank you this morning for your grace. We thank you this morning for your mercy in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. And so we are approaching the finish line in the book of Jonah. However, there's still much to be discussed and much to be worked through. Where do we begin, I think, today with this morning's passage is, as we can see, the person, the character of Jonah is upset. He's angry. He's bitter. He's frustrated. I can continue to go on through all the emotions at this point, all the discomfort that Jonah is feeling. But ultimately, Jonah, it says to us that Jonah is angry and he's displeased. And the reason why Jonah is displeased, because last week we briefly talked, if you were to look back at verse 10, chapter 3, it says, when God saw what they had did, meaning when God saw that the city of Nineveh had returned and repented of their sins, that God forgave them. God relented from the calamity, the destruction that he said he was going to send on the people of Nineveh. And he used Jonah as a messenger. He used Jonah as today a preacher, a minister to minister this word of God to this large group of people. And initially we recall that Jonah did not want to initially go to the people of Nineveh. And many reasons behind it, one being that Jonah knew, as we see today, that the Lord is a merciful and gracious God. And so in knowing that, Jonah decided that he would rather the great city of Nineveh would perish than God actually show them compassion, that God would actually show them mercy and grace upon this great group of people. And one of the things we kind of briefly talked about last week is oftentimes, although sin may be great, God's love is greater. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that. And oftentimes we pray and thank God for his grace in our lives. I'm sure each and every one of us could raise our hands and declare, proclaim how God has been gracious and merciful to each and every one of us. Even in those moments in our life when we did not deserve such grace, such mercy, God still continued to extend his grace and mercy to our lives. And actually, it's quite fascinating because Jonah himself is a recipient of God's grace and mercy in his own life. If you remember or recall back in chapter 2, one of the things that Jonah did was Jonah prayed to God that God would indeed have mercy on his life. In the midst of Jonah's distress, in the midst of Jonah going through a very difficult time, he prayed out to God and God heard his cry. It's quite fascinating. The one who received mercy is refusing, resenting, to actually extend mercy to someone else. Then you begin to think is in terms of Jonah and just his response to God extending this grace and mercy to them, it displeased him. I mean, this would be, or you would think this would be an opportunity or a time for Jonah to rejoice, to be glad, to praise God on behalf of saving and rescuing a people from their sins. But yet Jonah is angry. Have you ever been in Jonah's shoes? Have you ever been in a situation where you've been angry at God for one reason or another? And we see that in Jonah's situation, he's upset. He's furious. Because God has granted mercy, not to just anyone, not to just a great people, not to just the people of Nineveh, but when it all boils down, these are people who Jonah does not like. And what do you do when God decides to show mercy and grace to those people whom you do not like? To show mercy and grace to even your enemies. What do you do in that situation? Do you pout? Do you get angry? Do you get displeased with God, such as Jonah? Or do you allow God to have a transformation in your heart and in your life to actually begin to change your perspective to see what it is that God is actually trying to do in and through, not just you and your people, but to the nations around the world? Jonah, his focus, if you will, on himself. He's not only displeased with God, he's not only displeased with Nineveh, but oftentimes I believe in life when we're angry or displeased with someone else or something, we're also angry at ourselves. Why would Jonah be angry at himself? Well, he's probably angry at himself for actually being obedient to God, because he knew that if he goes and speak and preach, that the city of Nineveh would potentially repent and God would forgive them. So it's a potential that he's angry at himself. Seems crazy, but for being obedient. He's potentially angry at himself because he sees himself also in a city and the people of Nineveh, in terms of the wickedness, in terms of the lifestyle in which they live. Oftentimes we talk to, I mentor and coach, and one of the things that we teach is, you know, in terms of anger, oftentimes most people say, hey, don't be angry, that's not right. But the reality is anger is a natural emotion. It's an emotion, it's a respond to when things don't go the way you want it, how you want it, and when you want it. And you begin to think about that in terms of life, and you begin to think about that in terms of our relationship with God and then also with others. Oftentimes when things don't go the way we want it, what's the response of that? Anger. When things don't go how we want it, the response of that is anger. Jonah wants destruction to be put and to be placed on the city of Nineveh. He does not want mercy to be extended to them. And so he's angry. And so therefore, he has this dilemma, he has this problem, this issue with God because of God's grace and his mercy. Also thought it was fascinating when you begin to just think about the story and notice how quick Jonah is to anger. How quick Jonah is to anger, and how slow God is to anger. You kind of begin to see the contrast between Jonah and God. And there's a huge discrepancy in between the two. God is slow to anger, but yet Jonah is quick to anger. Think about even your own life and how slow God is to anger, and how thankful and how we praise God for being slow to anger, for being merciful to us in our life. But then yet when that same thing is extended to someone else, it becomes a problem. But it wasn't a problem back in chapter 2 when Jonah was in his moment of the stress. But then what about when others are in their moments of the stress? Do we still extend that same grace and mercy to them? And oftentimes we somehow believe, like Jonah, that God is for a particular people. But I come today that God is not just a God of the Jews, but he's also a God of the Gentiles. God is not just a God of the African Americans, not just a God of Caucasians, not just a God of Mexicans, not just a God of Asians, but he is a God of all nations and all people. And until we discover that, until we wrap our minds and come to grips with that, then our perspective and our way of conducting ourselves will not change. Until we understand that he, the Lord, our God, is for all people, not just one particular group. And if you fast forward even in the New Testament, the disciples themselves had to learn this very message in and through Jesus' ministry. That Jesus was not just sent for to save the Israelites, to save God's chosen people. Yes, he came to them first. However, they had to come to a place of humility and accept that God was actually working in and beyond God's chosen people. Have you come to that place in your life where you realize that God is actually the God of all? That he's not just concerned with a particular race. He's not just concerned with a particular situation, circumstance, but he's concerned with all things. And so our response, hopefully, as believers in Christ, those who are have faith in him, is that we would pray, despite the situation or the circumstance, but that God's will would be done. And that's oftentimes very difficult to do, is because we become so inclined to one situation over another. We become so inclined to one particular group over another. But God has a grander plan in mind beyond even just Israel. And thanks be to God that he is a God who desires to work beyond just one particular people. Because had it not been, where would we be? Where would we be? And so hopefully we praise and thank God for his grace and his mercy. And I think another thing that you notice too is that how often do we want to confine God's love and his mercy? We want to somehow put God's love and his mercy in a box, and that only God's love and mercy is for this particular person or this particular people. But we can't confine God's love. God's love is abounding. It's steadfast beyond even what our minds can comprehend. And then we see that even in the midst of Jonah's anger, he prays. And this is the second time in the book of Jonah that he prays. But this time he's not praying and thanking God and being grateful, but he's praying out of anger. He's praying out of a frustration of what it is that God has done. And again, in a moment where Jonah should be praying and thanking God for what he has done, instead, he's angry. I mean, what would you do if your enemy, those whom you don't like, were to walk into the church and then they receive God's message and come before the church with lifted hands? How would you feel? Would you rejoice on their behalf, or would you be angry? Would you turn your nose and say, look at them, they know they don't supposed to be in here? What would you do? What would you do in the midst of God actually working in and through another's life, beyond yours, beyond your friends, beyond your family? I mean, if people walk up to the altar and fall on bended knees before God, I mean, that should be an opportunity for us to just praise and thank God for what he's doing. Despite who it is that comes before us, It's saying, wow, look at what God is doing in and through the life of his people. And how often are we praising and thanking God for what he's doing? It's easy to praise him and thank him when it's someone we know. It's easy to thank him when it's someone we love. What about those we don't necessarily have a relationship with? What about those we don't necessarily want a relationship with? Are we still grateful and thankful for what God is doing and praising God? Something to think about. And I think that's something that the Lord left Jonah to think about as well. You think about God's question to Jonah. We'll get there. What is God's question to Jonah? What's God's question to Jonah?
Have you any right to be angry?
Thank you. Have you any right to be angry? if that's not a question for us today, have you any right to be angry? Oh. Jonah's response is yes, potentially. I have a right to be angry. But really, when we begin to think about God's question, and I often love in Scripture when you really begin to just allow Scripture to consume you, God is a great questioner. What does he say to Moses? Moses, when he's complaining, who made man's mouth? And who makes one mute? Who makes one deaf? Who makes one see? Then he says, wait a minute. I know oftentimes people are saying, I'm Elijah, I'm one of the prophets, but he comes to his disciples in that moment and he says, but who do you say I am? I mean, if you really begin to think, a lot of times God asks certain questions that really begins to provoke, hopefully, a response from the recipient of his message. And when he asked Jonah, is it right for you to be angry in a moment where you should be rejoicing? Is it right for you to be angry in a moment where you should be worshiping me? I asked you a question this morning. Are you angry at God for being God? Because when you begin to pull back the layers, Jonah is angry because God is being God. Did you hear the passage in Exodus 34? As God is proclaiming his name to Moses, what does God say? 34, starting at verse 5. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And this is God proclaiming his name. This is not Moses proclaiming his name. Eventually, Moses will proclaim his name back to God. But God is proclaiming his name to Moses. He says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful. What is Jonah upset at? Because God is merciful. Then he says, a God who is merciful and gracious. Jonah's angry that God is gracious. He's also angry, what the next thing says, a God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Who? Seems like characteristics we should be thankful for what God has done and is doing. This morning, several of you thank God for his faithfulness. I mean, have you ever been in Jonah's shoes? Where you were angry at God for him being faithful, for him being slow to anger, abounding in love. Oftentimes, I believe in life we need reality checks. We need to begin to look at ourselves and not so much at others. Is it well? Is it right for you to be angry? Let me keep going. One of the things it says in James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. What does Jonah want? Judgment. He wants destruction. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Love covers a multitude of sins. Today we sang a song called Such Love. When we begin to think about God's love, it is such love that God would be so merciful to the merciless. In terms of us, oftentimes we're not as merciful to others. But the reality is, what does Jesus say about mercy? Those who show mercy, they're blessed. They're blessed. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And so it almost seems like if you want mercy, give mercy. If you've received mercy, then be a recipient of mercy. Even though the person does not deserve it, he's not saying don't have discernment. He's not saying don't use wisdom in a situation. But he's saying, in terms of extending what I've extended to you, don't withhold that from someone else. Because in and through you being merciful, in and through you being obedient, actually, that might begin to turn a person towards God. That they might turn from their self and their wicked ways to actually begin to turn towards God and walk in his ways. So you just never know. You extending grace and mercy to someone else might be what it is that they need to actually change their ways. God extending his mercy, his grace to Nineveh, turned a whole entire people towards him. And God was concerned with them. I can't wait to speak about that, but God was concerned with the people of Nineveh. Are you concerned with the loss? Are you concerned with those who do not know the God that you know? Are you concerned with them enough to go beyond what you think is fair, what you think is just, to actually begin to extend a helping hand to them? What happens if your enemy was on the floor, and would you walk past them? Would you walk past them? Would you yell? Would you laugh? Or would you actually go over and extend and lift them up? It's easy to say yes in this moment, but the hopes is that in those moments, even when it's someone we can care less for, even someone we are in hostility against, we will lift them up. While we were yet sinners, you know the rest. Christ died for us. While we were yet in hostility with God, he died for us. We were foes, we were enemy against God. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross being angry at the Father for what those, as he looked down, had done to him? Can you imagine? We'll get there, but his prayer from the cross was different than that of Jonah's. Do you notice? Jesus' prayer from the cross is different than that of Jonah's. Jesus prays that, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How can you pray forgiveness in your moment of distress for the people who've actually put you in that place? For the very people that hung him on the cross, he's praying to the Father, not that the Father would send condemnation on them, not that the Father would destroy them, but that the Father would forgive them, that the Father would show mercy and love to them. Wow. Even those who were casting lots to split his garment, he's praying, Father, forgive them. Even those who mocked him, he's praying, "Father, forgive them." Even those who doubted that he was the Son of God, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." To those who ran and scattered, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you see the heart of God? Do you see the heart of Jesus from the cross? That he's concerned with the lost. And then you might say, how is it that Jesus is concerned for the lost? One of the chapters in scripture where it talks about the lost and God's concern for the lost is the parables of the lost coin, the lost sheep in Luke 15. And the one that I want to really begin to look at is the parable. Oftentimes people look at it as the parable of the lost son, but there's two lost sons. And so if you look at Luke chapter 15, around verse 28, one of the things that you would discover is that there was one son who goes off to a foreign country and who spends all of his inheritance. He's upset, wanting to leave, and then all of a sudden, he comes to his senses and decides that the situation that he's in is basically less than the situation he would be in even if he was one of his father's servants. And so he decides to come up with this whole prayer and everything. It's this repentance speech that he's going to pray to the father that I'm going back to my father. I'm going back to return to where God, where I know who my father is. And then at the same time, while you have the younger son who is headed back on his way to his father, you have the older son who is outside. He's angry, he's frustrated, he's upset at what God, his father, has just done for the younger son. There are celebrations going on inside of the house, and he's wondering, what is this celebration? What is this music for? And they tell him that the father is throwing a celebration for the younger son who has just returned. The younger son is angry, he refused to go in. The father, just like he did for the younger son, he comes out, he meets him, and basically he comes before him and says, "This brother of yours was lost and is now found." In a moment where the older brother should have been rejoicing, in a moment where the older brother should have been praising and thanking God for his younger brother returning, yet he was angry. He was furious. He couldn't stand that somehow his father extend such love to someone such as his younger brother. And so the question becomes, will you rejoice with God over the lost being found? Will you rejoice with God over those who are unreached, who are actually coming to know who God is? And the amazing thing is, like I mentioned, oftentimes we're so close to the Father that we actually yet are far away. Even those who are within the church feels as if we're so close, we're so self-righteous that we have not received the same grace that someone else had received. So no matter how far someone is, we all need the same grace. No matter how far someone is, we all need the same mercy. Would you all be honest? Who needs God's mercy every day? I definitely would raise my hand and two hands to say every day I need his mercies anew, his mercies afresh. And so if God decides to extend his love and mercy to someone else, so be it. Praise be to God. And I love that he doesn't often treat us as our sins deserve. Notice he's not condemning Jonah. He's not condemning Jonah for being angry and upset. But he wants Jonah to begin to look and think. isn't well for you to be angry in this moment where you should be rejoicing. There's a time and a place for mourning, but there's also a time and a place for rejoicing. And this is that moment in life where we should be rejoicing God is doing. And as I mentioned, I'll close with these few words. As Jesus is praying from the cross, it's very contrary to that of Jonah. As we mentioned, he prays in Luke 23:34. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Talk about mercy and love. I can't even imagine praying like this in my moment of deep distress. Father, forgive them. I'll be more concerned about healing, more be concerned about deliverance, being set free from whatever it is that I'm in. But Jesus is not concerned about self. He's concerned about the will of the Father. Jonah is concerned about self, not concerned with the will of the Father. Then you begin to think, is Jesus could easily be angry, but despite the moment that he's in, he prays for forgiveness. He prays for the one who was rebuking him on the other cross. Father, forgive him. Talk about a merciful heart, the merciful heart of God. And then you begin to think about Jesus. He's actually putting his own words into action, to practice. What does he tell the disciples back in Matthew 5, 43 through 44? "I know it said to you, love your neighbors, but hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." He's not just a preacher that says, do this, but he's also a person who's actually following through on his very words, even at the cross. He's praying for those who are persecuting him, and he's also praying for those for forgiveness and mercy. And I believe, if I'm hearing correctly, that Jesus is inviting us also to that very same life, to have the very same heart of God, to have a heart of forgiveness, to have a heart of compassion for the lost, to have a heart that will begin to be joyful and rejoice over the lost being found. And so I pray as you come this morning, as Sister Charlene and Ms. Bonda and the band comes, just pray that you would think about this one question as you come. Will you become an answer of Jesus' prayer from the cross? Will you become an answer? And how we become an answer to that prayer is actually the way in which we conduct ourselves by extending love, grace, and mercy to those who do not deserve. Other people are crying out. And in the midst of you extending that love and grace and mercy to them, you become a participant of an answer to Jesus' prayer. So which prayer would you give an answer to? That of Jonah's or that of Jesus? So I pray as you come this morning and receive the bread and the cup and a heart full of gratitude for what God has done in and through Jesus, that you would come surrendering to the life of that message. That, Father, I desire that you would do such a work in me that other people might come to know you. That you would rid me of this anger. That you would rid me of this resentment of others repenting before you. That I would be rejoicing in this moment. So if that is your desire, to have the heart of God, I pray that you would come and receive the bread and the cup this morning.